Wow, that's a very funny comment. Let me just respond to that, because it's just so... Where's the respond button? It was just here. I saw it yesterday. It's always right here. Oh, it must be this circle thing. No, that's not right. No, that's not it. Where's the respond button? It was right there yesterday. I just used it yesterday. This blob with a face, right? No, it's always right there. Right there next to the... No, right there next to the damn curly Q banana square. It's always right there. Why isn't it right there? It's...
This is Fuse Box number 256. IYKYK. If you know, you know. And you probably don't even know where you are.
You know, that's a safe assumption, because they keep moving all the buttons and they switch the menus around, so you're always in perpetual panic. Just like that guy was.
It's always right there! Why isn't it right there?
Common problem in our modern society. Hello, friends, and welcome in to this, the 256th edition of Fusebox, cryptically entitled IYKYK, or If You Know, You Know, which in itself is a kind of statement on the whole thing we're looking at this time out. Things that are clear or familiar only if known. And I'm your hanging upside down so everything looks normal host, Mark Rose, and over there, the always in the know grand regent of the rectifiers, Milt Caines, everybody.
Thank you kindly. Yeah, buddy, I for one am totally lost when it comes to this LOL, HBTU, ASMR, BFF, BS.
That's perhaps the perfect example of what we're dealing with on this edition of the show. Things that are clear only to those who know. Never has this engineering term been more accurate. Itself a very acronym of destiny. COIK, or clear only if known, or for us Fusebox aficionados, FOIK. Familiar only, if known. We're just surrounded by these self-referential-like contrivances of modern-day life. And one such variant that has bugged me for years, we'll get to that in a bit.
Didn't we have a show with that title?
Yes. Yes, we did indeed, back in 2015, in our very first year of this program. Yes. It was, show number...
27.
Yeah, 27. Yeah. 27, as a matter of fact, yeah. We did touch on this phenomenon, even back then.
Yeah. Still clear as mud to me. I don't get any of that stuff.
Which proves its own point, Mr. Caines. If you know, you know.
And I, for one, don't know.
Well, BTW, we've got a goat of a show for you here. In addition to the aforementioned dive into the knowingness of things, we've got a special twisted epiphany written by Rhett Tilman called Physics coming up, as well as another extremely clear as a mountain stream grindhouse minute with our buddy 42nd Street Pete. But also a tale of whoa, as evidently Milt had attempted to intervene in a discussion Eco and Milo, the Japanese pocket squirrels, were having
Please don't remind me. Ow.
That, and so much less, when we return.
GTG.
Get the doctor!
Friends, I just wanted to once again take a moment to tell you about a genuine labor of love from Fusebox contributor and just all-around decent chap, 42nd Street Pete, Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. Well, in the first issue of GR, Pete does a fabulous job of retelling that first time he discovered what is commonly referred to as Euro horror, way back in 1965 when films like these played in real theaters and not on flickering TV sets at midnight or Saturday afternoons. Yeah, titles like The Awful Dr. Orloff, Lady Frankenstein, or even Terror Creatures from the Grave, where a youngster could spend an entire day in these theaters having the time of their lives. And as Pete writes, despite what you might think, be in an even safer place to experience them than today. Pick up a copy of Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine today. There's a link in the show description to do just that.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Alrighty, friends. So I don't know about you, but I am eternally frustrated by these acronyms du jour that pop up from time to time that the sender or originator of said acronyms is passive-aggressively sure you won't get.
Which makes them, what, cool?
Irritating. We see this all the time. There is now, probably has been for a while, a directory of the most popular abbreviations online, and I've linked to one of those sites in the show description for your perusal. I mean, I get why they were created, right? In some cases, to cut down on the number of keystrokes needed to send a message, which really can be tedious as well, and in some cases, but...
Hey, how about these? I-A-N-A-L.
I'm sorry?
I-A-N-A-L.
I have no...
I am not a lawyer.
Oh, well, that was clear as concrete.
Or N-S-F-L.
No sloth fondling lane?
Not safe for life.
Huh.
O-R-L-Y.
Something to do with the canoes?
Means, oh, really?
Yeah, see, there's just no way to know that unless someone has instructed you beforehand.
Yeah, it's kind of like our language.
Oh, no, don't get me started, Mr. Keynes. Remember my fave, right? Tough, cough, plow, dough, all spelled with an O-U-G-H, but pronounced completely different.
There he goes.
We shan't go there. So, in addition to these many abbreviations created in a self-referential hell dimension, what drives me absolutely crazy is a winged homunculus in a china shop. Are these damnable icons software designers and web folks and even hardware folks place on things that relate to, well, nothing? Squiggly arrow pointing to a triangle.
Power.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Makes sense to me.
All right. How about a jagged line with dots on it?
Automation enable.
Okay, but how did you know that?
Read the manual?
Aha! Aha, see? See, you had to be told at first. It's not intuitive. It's invented by someone, and therefore has meaning to them.
Probably would have figured it out.
Oh, come on. All right. One last one.
Bring it.
Two dots.
Yeah.
A square.
Okay.
Followed by a wavy line.
Fold twice, then wash?
Nope.
Butter toast, then rinse with fire hose.
Uh-uh.
Punch holes, then shake violently.
Not even close.
Pangolin crossing. Huh? Ha! Got it, right? Got it?
Nope.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Well, as Milt goes quietly insane, we'll take a pause in the disaster here and offer up a wondrous little thought provoker by Rhett Tilman entitled Physics, since it definitely plays to our ever-expanding technoverse.
Push Dot to explode.
No.
From whence we came, our fathers always wonder, and deign to think to wrench our lives asunder, thinking with deterministic view that all creative lies within a few. From nothing, so they tell us, we are gods, denying what they first had said was true, that there's no difference between our bodies and the pieces of the classical particle zoo. A ball of compact energy, invisible, excited by the bodies it surrounds, expands in size by numbers not divisible within the macro world in which we're bound. 1 trillionth of a second and it's over. The explosion splits the matter into twos of particles to annihilate each other, emitting energy, new charges that will fuse. The universe condenses, forcing out the swarms of stars and planets, galaxies that slowly grow while shifting all about in orbits that we clearly quantify. Creation ex nihilo, said Aquinas. All our energy and mass was neutralized before the grand explosion. Einstein says we could not be nothing. And so the skies continue to confuse us in their origin. Some say with quantum physics we won't know exactly where we end and when began this saga of so many years ago. In ignorance forever we will live, and with our creativity we'll find new ways to give our presence meaning. Forever waiting for the next prophetic sign.
Press F9 for prophetic sign.
And no. Another terrific piece there, written and read by Rhett Tilman. That one entitled Physics, and we've done a couple of these spoken word pieces from Rhett, and there are a couple more lurking in the green room that we will endeavor to feature in future shows.
Now I'm going to chew on this. I'll get it.
I'm most confident you won't. I have to add a little sidebar here to our IYKYK theme. Manufacturers of anything that put the same color printing of text on the surface that is the exact same color. For instance, on the back or underside of most stereo or home appliances, there's going to be a dark color or a white color or whatever, in which they make the butt-stupid decision to place written text in a sort of raised printing affair in the exact same color, as if raised up out of the plastic or whatever material the surface is made from. Pro tip, you can't read that stuff.
Now that drives me crazy too. What sort of bong-altered planning session was that?
I'm sure it's to save a buck. They figure no one is actually going to read this anyway.
Except when the instructions for connecting something to it are only on that side of whatever it is.
Gives me a severe brain ache, Mr. Keynes.
You know, should lock those brainiacs up in a totally white room. The instructions for release are in invisible ink.
And speaking of fleshpots...
Are we there already?
It's certainly time to check in with our favorite grindhouse connoisseur, 42nd Street Pete, as he takes a look at another classic from the grindhouse era. This one, Andy Milligan's Fleshpot on 42nd Street.
You didn't tell me where you were for the last 2 months. Where were you?
I was playing house with some guy in Queens.
Well, there's such a thing as a subway, you know. You could have used it, you know.
Susie uses it all the time. Don't you, hon? Only she just uses the toilet. If you ever want to find her, just go to the 14th Street IRT toilet. She's the second one from the door.
We'll get a fistful of knuckles.
Oh, And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
This is 42nd Street Pete bringing you a Grindhouse Minute. Laura Cannon and Harry Reams had worked together before in Fleshpot on 42nd Street, also known as Girls on 42nd Street by Andy Milligan. And the reason this film renaissance with me is because Andy got some conversations down in these bars about, you know, who was selling what, who was hustling this, who was hustling that. And these were conversations I actually heard when I was hanging out in the early days. It's probably one of the most true-to-life films of life on 42nd Street in that area. You know, it was done by a guy who basically lived there. I mean, let's face it, his horror films are pretty horrible, but when he went with the sex content and things, they were actually pretty good. Unfortunately, most of his stuff is lost. The early black and white stuff, legend is that Michigan's kid, Lou, melted him down because he hated Andy and he hated the whole business. I think it was Vinegar Syndrome just released this a couple of years ago. I think it's also in that box set from Severin Restored. There was also a harder version of it, too. An X-rated version. You know, Laura Cannon is there under the name Diana Lewis, I believe, in this one. And, you know, she's the supposed hooker with a heart of gold. And, you know, she hooks up with Harry Reams. He's a nice guy. And then he gets killed in a car accident. And then she's back to hooking again. So, but it's a little slice of life and it actually works. And it actually, like I said, it mirrors the era for that time. So it's pretty cool.
Stay safe. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Pretty cool indeed. Now, I've gone on record before saying that I'm not the biggest Andy Milligan fan. And even as Pete said there, some of those other films are, well, even for me, unwatchable.
Wow. Now that's saying something.
Yes. Yes, I know. Now, I can gleefully suffer through some pretty dubious films and love each and every dilapidated frame. But some of Mr. Milligan's works left me underwhelmed. But this one, I've always wanted to see, and perhaps we'll make the effort to find it out there. Thanks again to Pete for unlocking this potential gem from the grainy mists of time.
You know, speaking of finding films and such, is it me or is it the type on the back of those films getting even smaller than a couple of years ago?
Pretty small. I guess, again, because of space limitations and credit requirements, they always had to get that type down to ant size to fit it all in. Again, wish there was a standard there, too. You know, sometimes just looking for the runtime on a disc is impossible. Is it on the slipcover, the case itself, or printed only on the disc?
Maybe I just need, like, those jeweler's lenses. You know, the ones like these three sets of lenses on one frame.
Make you look like some kind of spider.
I don't know. Might be a good look.
Well, speaking of getting punched in the face, we captured a bit of Milt diplomacy in action just the other day. And I thought our listeners would like to see your skills of disarming a potentially volatile situation in full effect.
Oh, was that what it was? Seems there was a bit more hurdy pain than diplomacy, but...
Well, it appears that Eco and Milo were having a discussion the other day, and Milt, it just so happened...
No, try it again. Ready? Yes, Mimi. Meet Mr. Bernie. Pull in through.
Okay. Yeah, just name anything. Name it to me. Over the Andy. Around the Jimmy. Let's get to Mimi. Pull in. Damn it. Yes, Timmy. I hate Timmy. Why don't you name it to me, Timmy?
No, Timmy. No. Grant it.
No. I don't get Timmy, Timmy.
Yes, Timmy. You hang a name on the dinner, okay? Now, turn into me.
No.
You're a come in. No, this man is coming. You can just handle this
now. No.
You're being a butthead.
You're in a butthead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a team.
What the heck? fucking fuck is going on in here? Eco, Milo, knock it off. Hey, stop it. Stop it right there or no peanut butter martinis later, okay? Hey, knock it off.
Butthead, double butthead.
I said knock it off. Now, what's going on? Why are you two fighting? What? You're trying to teach Milo how to tie his shoes? What the hell for?
Yeah, what the hell for?
I mean, what the heck do Japanese pocket squirrels need to wear shoes for? I mean, seriously, little dude, you're animals, you're pets. You know, it's not like you're human beings, so what do you need shoes for? I mean,
melt. Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. I mean, it's just that, you know, you're Japanese pocket squirrels. Japanese pocket squirrels don't need shoes, right? I mean, come on. Besides, you don't even have thumbs. So how can you tie shoes that you don't even need when you don't have thumbs? Right? I mean, am I right? Guys? Why are you looking at me like that?
Get him! Yeah!
My one good eye! Ow. That hurts! Stop hitting me there with that! Ow! 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 No, not my groin ecological region! Ouch! I have a date later! Ow! Oh, the humanity! Ow!
Yes, friends. Pure diplomacy in action.
Ow. So how'd you get that footage, bro?
Oh, I have more hidden cameras and microphones around this place than can be detected by Earth science. As a matter of fact, a recent scan to determine the locations of the aforementioned devices resulted in a rather dramatic failure of the scanning device. And with that sucker punch to the ego, we'll take our leave and call this a show, but not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fusebox: Mackenzie Main for splendid ideifications, Rhett Tillman for word wondrousness, and 42nd Street Pete for more peeps into the grainy world of grindhouse cinema. Thanks as well to the dial-o-licious direction of the master of meters over there, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance and so forth and so on.
A true slice. Folks, if you've been sitting on it, wondering if you should oughta maybe join us on that there Patreon thing, then the answer is yeah.
You'll get access to immediate free swag, early releases, and all sorts of hidden content that only the most privileged can partake in, like pictures you won't believe of Shady Vance and a Barca Lounger.
Shudder.
That's patreon.com/thefusebox show for all the details. Thanks a big bunch to the folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued faith and support. Check out all of their stuff at 42ndstreetpete.net. And of course, thanks to you, friends, for pushing play on this edition of the show. And if you get a chance, take a peek at our YouTube channel for a visual version of this very program. I have been your cryptically encoded, for better clarity and bitrate, host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
What the hell was that icon, man? It's driving me crazy.
Huh? Oh, well, I have no idea, man. I just made it up.
What? You son of a...
Fuse.